Hey, we're beginning here on the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. Gemara is asking about something that it took for granted until now, which is that we require lishma by the avodot, four major avodot that we've discussed before, which is shkita, kabbalat adam, holachat adam, and then zrikat adam. And the Gemara now wants to understand, how do we know that that is true, that there is such a requirement? And as Rashi notes over here, the nature of the question of minala and debin and zbicha lishma is lechatchila. How do we know lechatchila you need lishma? Because we already had the pasuk earlier of motzeh fatecha tishmor. And that taught you that you have to bring the korban in its proper fashion. So Rashi notes that that lacks any form or context to it. And therefore, if you had motzeh fatecha, lo mefarshi be'avodot lishma. It's not clear that it's speaking about the avodot over there. How do you know that the din of motzeh fatecha that differentiates between a neder and a nedava is connected at all to the requirement of doing the avodot lishma? And so now that's what we're trying to discover, which is that demand of avodot lishma, which then has impact on the kashrut of the korban lechatchila. How do we know that that is what the reference is to, and not to some other requirement of the korban? And you can see in the Shittu Mekubet said he has a slightly different variation of what Rashi is saying over here, which is that not from Motzeh Svatech, I wouldn't have known that it's speaking about the Avodot, but rather fundamentally, I wouldn't have known that Motzeh Svatech has any application by Lishma. Later on, at the end of the Sugya, the Gemara will come back and tell us that there is application of Lishma through all these Psukim. And then once I know that, there's a separate question. Once I know that Lishma is application, how do I know that it has broader application to all korbanot, and motzeh svatecha has relevance to that as it being a halacha that's across all korbanot? And that the Gemara will answer that there is a hekesh between the korbanot that says the din that is applicable by the shlamim is also now applicable to all other korbanot. And that's how we know that lishma is covered by motzeh svatecha. Minolon, dvein and zvicha lishma. How do we know that you require shchita to be lishma? Right now, the Shema that we're discussing is Shinui Kodesh, which means that you have to do it for the particular Korban that you are bringing. So the Gemara says, Damar Kra, because the Pasuk says, in Vayikra Gimel, when it discusses the Shlamim for the first time, it says, Bim Zerach Shlamim Karbano, In Min HaBakaru Makri, Bim Zachar Nekeba, Tamim Yakrivenu Lifnei Hashem. The Gemara wants to learn from this that the word Zevach does not mean a Korban in general, but rather, im zevach shlamim, shetei zvicha l'shem shlamim. That the shechita should be done for the purposes or the intent of a shlamim. Bedilma, haynu shmayu. How do you know that zevach shlamim over here means a shechita l'shem shlamim? Maybe that is a noun phrase that describes the type of korban that you are bringing, which is a zevach shlamim. Midachtiv, because later on in Parsha Tzav, when it discusses the shlamim again, there from the perspective of the Kohanim, it does not use the term zevach shlamim, which tells you that zevach is not a part and parcel of the shlamim. As it says to the hakrava of the shlamim, it says, amakriv et dam shlamim. So there you see that the terminology that is used is not zevach shlamim, but rather a makriv et dam ha-shlamim. So you see the word shlamim used without zevach attached to it. And the same thing is true where it says, v'yikriv imenu echad mikol korban truma l'Hashem, l'kohen azarek et dam ha-shlamim, lo yiyeh. So in each of these cases, lo k'tiv zevach, v'alch k'tiv zevach, shmamina, Shetei zvicha l'shem shlamim. So here we have two examples where the Torah calls it a shlamim and does not append zevach to it. So that shows you that zevach shlamim is not the noun phrase. Rather, zevach is the process of shchita. I mean, zevach shlamim, shchita l'shem shlamim. Ashkechan zvicha, so now we took care of shchita. Shar avodot milon. What about the remaining three avodot that they also have to be l'shem shlamim? So the most obvious thing would they say, well, if zvicha requires it, then maybe the other three require it as well. Problem is, mal zvicha, shekein nifsala shelo l'shem uchlim b'pesach. By korban ha-pesach, there is a unique aspect of the korban ha-pesach, which is not true of any other korban, which is that the korban ha-pesach has a focus on being consumed or eaten. Every other korban, even if it's not eaten, the korban is kasher. Turns out that the truth is that even the korban ha-pesach that's not eaten is kasher, but it has to be done for the purposes of eating, and with people who are capable of consuming the korban. That means that the individuals who are the parties to the korban haPesach, they have to be able to consume a kazayit worth of the korban haPesach when they bring it. If they are unable to do that, then the korban haPesach is pasul. So you have a unique aspect dealing with the shechita only of the korban haPesach, because the pasuk says ish lefi ochlo tachosu al aseh. So you see, there's this correlation between achila and tochosu, which the Gemara Pesachim defines as being shechita, and so that means that the shechita has to be done l'shem achila, and therefore we learn by the shechita of the korban haPesach that you have to do it for the purposes of individuals who can consume and eat the korban haPesach. But that is uniquely associated with the achila because of the ochlo being by tochosu, but it's not applicable by the other three avodot. So you see, there's a unique aspect of shechita that no other avodah has. Once you're past shechita, it does not matter in terms of whether you have in mind for ochlim or not ochlim, because there it says, asher tachosu, so I can't extrapolate from shechita to other areas or other avodot because of this unique aspect of shechita that by korban haPesach, if you shecht it for someone who is not able to eat the korban haPesach, would be pasul. So you see a chumrah in shechita that doesn't allow us to extrapolate it to other areas. In order to learn from one item to other, you have to have the ability to say either that they're equal or there's nothing unique about this avoda. This is something that's unique about this avoda. Yes, korban pesach is also a unique korban, but nevertheless, it shows you that shechita within the world of the four avodot has this unique characteristic to it. And therefore, we can't just automatically assume we can what is true of shechita is true of the other avodot, because we find instances where shechita has a different din than the remaining avodot. Maybe here too, shechita has a differentiated din from all the other avodot. El Amar Kra, the pasuk that we quoted before, Hamakrivet Dam HaShlamim, the one who brings the Dam HaShlamim, Shetei Kabbalah L'Shem Shlamim, so that you have to do the Kabbalah for Shlamim. We'll get back, again, the Gemara will discuss in a second. Doesn't sound like that's Kabbalat Adam. Hamakriv sounds like you're either doing Zrikat Adam, you're taking the Adam closer to the Mizbeach. Does not sound like you're doing Kabbalat Adam. So the Gemara will come back and discuss how that is. But again, we're using the puzzle we quoted before, which is Hamakriv Yad Dam HaShlamim. V'lichtoch Rachmana B'Kabbalah, V'lilef Shkita Mina. Let the Torah write it just by Kabbalat Adam, and then we'll learn Shkita from Kabbalat Adam. Mishum D'Ikal HaMifrach. Again, here, there's a chumrah by the avodah of Kabbalah that does not allow it to be extrapolated to shechita, which is Malah Kabbalah. She came psula bizar. The isha seems extraneous. It's taken out of the girsot. You can see that in the Shita Mikubetzet. That, far as the four avodot are concerned, shechita, which is the first, does not require a kohen to do it. Anyone can do it. A zar can do shechita. Mi Kabbalah ve'elech. We'll see that terminology that is used in the Gemara. It requires kihuna. You have to have a kohen process it. From Kabbalat Adam, Holachat Adam, Zrikat Adam, that all has to be done by a kohen. As opposed to shechita, which can be done by a zar, or even possibly by an isha. But the isha is no different than a zar in this case, and that's why it doesn't make sense to put both of them in there, because woman is disqualified, just like a zar is disqualified, because she's not a kohen. So here, you can't extrapolate from Kabbalah that requires a kohen to shechita that does not require a kohen. Maybe the din is unique to Kabbalat Adam because of the fact that you require a kohen there. So shechita maybe doesn't require it. So ashkachan shechita v'kabbalah. So now we got shechita that requires it l'shem shlamim. Kabbalat Adam, we need l'shem shlamim. Zrika minolan. How do we know that zrikat Adam also requires a l'shem shlamim? V'chitaim leilef mehani. Why don't you say let's learn it out from these two? Meaning that we already have shechita and Kabbalah. From that, we could extrapolate to Zrika. Malahani shekein tuunot safon. These two have a unique aspect to them, that they must be done on the northern side of the Azara. We'll get to this in Ezehu Mikoman, but it's one of the key distinctions between Kodshim Kalim and Kodshe Kodoshim. Kodshe Kodoshim are required to be processed in the safon, whereas Kodshim Kalim can be done anywhere in the Azara. The requirement to do it in the safon is only relevant during shechita and Kabbalat Adam. Zrikat Adam, which is done in the Mizbeach, it's not only on the northern side of the Mizbeach, it's either Sh'aim Shein Arba, or in the four matnot on the Karnot HaMizbeach, but it's not that it has to be done on the northern side. So that unique aspect that is associated with Shechita and Kabbalah does not apply to Zrika. In addition, and they're also relevant by chataot that end up inside of the Kodesh or the Kodesh HaKodoshim. In the last Masechta Horiot, we discussed those types of korbanot, that is the parhelam davar shel tzibor, par kohen Mashiach, the seir avodah zarah, as well as the par en seir of Yom HaKippurim. They have manot dam that are done inside of the heichal. But that means that Shechita and Kabbalah have something that's unique that Zrikah does not have, which is that the Shechita and Kabbalah are relevant to all korbanot. That means that they're relevant to korbanot that are done on the Mizbeach HaKitzon. It's relevant to korbanot that are done inside of the Eichal, but Zrikah, the dam, only has application on the Mizbeach HaKitzon, is not relevant by Chatot HaPnimiyot, done inside of the Eichal. So maybe Zrikah is a different din than Shechita and Kabbalah, which is relevant across the board to all korbanot. So since they share this common denominator between them, Shechita and Kabbalah, maybe that's why Shechita and Kabbalah require Lishma, but Zrikah would not require Lishma. Elam HaKra, so then we bring the other pasuk that we quoted before, Bikri Mimeno Echad Mikol Korban Shema LaShem Lakoyen HaZorek Etam HaShlamim Lo Yeh. So Zorek Etam HaShlamim Shetei Zrikah L'Shem Shlamim. So the Zrikah has to be done L'Shem Shlamim. In all of these cases, the context already provides you that we're speaking about a shlamim. So to repeat the word shlamim is extraneous, and therefore we're learning from the repetition of the word shlamim in the context of something that is already a parshia dealing with shlamim to tell you that you require the same shlamim in these cases. So let the Torah just write it by zrikat adam, and then we'll learn from zrikat adam to the other areas, shechita and kabbalah. Yishom de'ika lemifrach. You can undermine that. Malas rikah, shukein chayev elah zar mita. Because there, if a zar performs that avodah, it will be chayav mita. That is as opposed to a zar who does shechita, where it's mutar, by a kais of kabbalah. Even though it's not mutar for a zar to do it, it only can be done by kohen, he still does not chayav mita for doing kabbalat adam, or alachat adam. The only time he's chayav mita is if he actually does zrikat adam. That's based on the limud in the Gemara in Yoma that says that in order to be chayav mita, you have to do avodatem avodat matana. And the Gemara darshins from avodat matana that it has to be avodat matana velo avodat siluk. It has to be something where it's a gift, not something where you're removing it. And avodatem avodat tama. It has to be a full avodah and not an avodah that is just a precursor or has something afterwards. From there, the Gemara learns that there are four avodot in the processing that end up with a zar getting mita, and those are zrikat adam, haktara of the evarim or the chalavim on the mizbeach, nisuch hamayim and nisuch hayayim. Those are four avodot that fulfill those requirements of being both an avodat matana, something that is being given, not removed, and also an avodat tama is the final avodah in the process, and there's nothing after it. So all those four avodot have a chiyuv mita. Within the four avodot in the process of bringing a zebach, only one of those is mentioned, that's zrikat adam. So that means that zrikat adam has a chumra of chiyuv mita, and therefore maybe it requires lishma there because of the chiyuv mita, and so I couldn't extrapolate it to shechita and kabbalah. So based on that, I need it mentioned in each one of these items. I need the zevach hashlamim, I need zorek dam hashlamim, and I also need hamakriv et dam hashlamim to teach me shechita, kabbalah, and zrika. All have to be done l'shem shlamim. So ashkachan kulho. So now we have three out of the four avodot, holacha minolan. How do I know that holacha also requires lishma? V'chita ima lelif mikulho. So let's just take the common denominator between them, which is shechita, kabbalah, and zrikah. The common denominator between them is that they are avodot, and they require lishma. So too, holocha should have that. Malukulu, there is a common denominator between them that does not appear by holocha, which is shkein avodah, she'yav shadavatla. The three avodot are an absolute requirement. They are completely necessary to do the processing of the korban. Tomar ba'holocha, she'yav shadavatla. Holocha can be absented from the processing of the korban, and it would not be posel the korban, and that we'll get to later on in the Masechta. There might be, in a Mishnah later on, there might be a machlok between Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim as to whether holocha can be mivutal, but nevertheless, based on this Gemara, it seems that it is muskam lakol, that you could process the korban without holacha, which is that if you shech the korban and do the kabbalat adam adjacent to the mizbeach, then you won't require holacha to take it to the mizbeach. You'll be standing exactly where you need to do the zrikat adam. So you could get by without doing the avodah of holacha, and for that reason, maybe it has a different din. It's not as important as the other three, and therefore would not require the shema. Ela amar kara. So the way that we learn it, rather, is from the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra, which is really a clip from the pasuk, which is Kerev v'akrayim yechatz b'mayim, v'kriva kohen et hakol, v'gdir ha-mizbecha ulahu ishe reach mikolach la'shem. So they're picking out words, v'kriv et hakol ha-mizbecha, which is really from the pasuk, which v'kriv ha-kohen et hakol, v'gdir ha-mizbecha, and that is a reference to Amramar, zoho lachat evarim lakevesh. That is the taking of the limbs to the ramp of the mizbeach. But here you're speaking about v'kriv, is the kerev and the karaim. Speaking about the chalavim and the nitachim of the korban olah, that they have to be placed on the mizbeach. And there it says v'kriv ha-kohen et hakol v'hiktir ha-mizbecha. That hakrava clearly is moving from where the items are now to the kevesh ha-mizbeach, to the ramp on the mizbeach, where there you're going to be hiktir ha-mizbecha, and then you're going to place them to be burnt on the mizbeach. So here clearly the word v'kriv means to bring closer, to be molich the varim to the kevesh. And then we have v'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem, v'krivu bnei Aaron hakohenim et adam, v'zarku et adam, v'krivu zo kabbalat adam. That's a reference to kabbalat adam. And we see here that the word v'kriv is used in two contexts. In one context, it's used to mean to take the item from where it is now to another location, and that's the holachat evarim et lamizbeach. On the other hand, v'krivu is also used in the context of kabbalat hadam, the receiving of the dam from the shechita of the beima. And that, according to Rashi, is because it says v'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem, v'krivu bnei Aaron hakohenim et hadam, v'zarku et hadam. So it says that you shech the animal, then v'krivu, the pashut pshat would have been that you bring it to v'kriv. Either you put it on the mizbeach or you bring it closer to the mizbeach. Yet Chazal darshan the v'krivu zo kabbalat adam. That's the receiving of the dam, and that is because it comes immediately after shechita. You can't do anything with the dam of the animal if immediately after shechita you say do zrikat adam, do halochat adam. The dam is still inside of the behema. The only thing you can do with dam is once you've received it into a receptacle, you somehow collected the dam, then you can do something with it. You read that pasuk in Vayikra Aleph when it's dealing with the korban ha'olah. There are three verbs in the pasuk, v'shachat et ben bakar lifnei Hashem, which is shechita, v'krivu bnei Aaron hakohanim et adam, and then the third verb that's found there is v'zarku et adam al mizbeach saviv, asher petecho moed, that's zrikat adam. For that reason, according to Rashi, the v'krivu, which is the next verb after shechita, must mean kabbalat adam. That's Rashi's explanation for why you would say this v'krivu is a reference to kabbalat adam, and not holachat adam. Or because, we're going to see later in the Gemara, the korban can be processed without having holachat adam. So that means it can't be speaking about holachat adam, which is similar to the reasoning that's brought by the Baal Yad Tosafot in Yoma, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, where he criticizes Rashi's explanation over here. And again, Rashi on Yud Gimel Amud Aleph actually brings that alternate explanation that holachat can be dropped. Therefore, it doesn't make sense to prevu as being holachat. And that's what the Baal Yad Tosafot would also say in Yoma. So a combination of those two items makes it that you would say that this v'krivu is a reference to kabbalat adam and not holachat adam. Now the Gemara says, but it did express it as v'krivu. V'tanya v'krivu zukalat adam v'afik rachmana b'lashon holacha, that it expressed the kabbalat adam in a verb that also has a meaning of holacha. The memra, the holacha, lo tifka mechlal kabbalah, to teach you that holacha has the same dinim as kabbalat adam, or basically it becomes a subset to kabbalat adam. That means whatever is true of kabbalat adam will also be true of holachat hadam. So you have the three avodot that are mentioned, quote unquote, explicitly, shechita, hakrava, which is kabbalat adam, and then zrika. But holacha is subsumed under it, word of kabbalat adam, because they express kabbalat adam as hakrava. And you saw before that when it came to the parts of the Korban that have to end up on the Mizbeach, there it says, so you see there that there it's speaking about holachat evarim the Mizbeach. So you see that the word hakrava also means holacha. So subsumed in the verb hikrivu is both kabbalat adam and holachat adam. And since we already established that kabbalat adam requires lishma, so does holachat adam. The Shittu Mekubetzet asks, why don't we say that you can learn from shchita, kabbalah, and holacha to zrika? Have the three of them be lishma, and from that extrapolate to zrika. And then he says, maybe there's a common denominator between them, wouldn't allow you, and that is that they have application by chatot ha-pnimiyot. Zrikat adam only has application on mizbeach chitzon, is not relevant by chatot ha-pnimiyot, whereas shkita, kabbalah, are obviously applicable by the chatot ha-pnimiyot, but so is holacha, because you have to take the dam from wherever you do the kabbalat adam into the heichal to do the matnot dam that are there. So holacha is also applicable there. So he says that common denominator would make it impossible to learn from those three to zrika. And you can see him a similar answer in the Balei HaTosafot here as well. And Tosafot himself asks, why can't we learn out holacha and kabbalah from shkita and zrika? And he answers that because shkita and zrika have a common denominator between them, which the Gemara on the next Amud will actually say, which is that they're both chayav mita when they are done b'chutz, which is not true of kabbalah and holacha. Gemara says, v'ashkachan shinui kodesh. So we already established now, for the four avodot, when it comes to kodesh, which means the type of korban, you have to do it the same that korban, those four avodot. Shinui ba'alim minolan. How do we know that this is also applicable by the ba'alim, meaning that you have to do the avodot, the shame, the ba'alim, the owners of this particular korban? Now over here, but shinui ba'alim, as Rashi pointed out here, is only relevant by Zrikat Adam. That is because Zrikat Adam is the major aspect of the kapara of the animal, and the kapara to be accomplished needs to be associated with the particular individual who are the ba'alim of the korban. And therefore, when we speak about the other avudot over here, we're speaking about them in having in mind for the Zrikat Adam. And Rashi expresses that here too, which is, when you do the shechita, it's not about shechting it for this particular individual. It means doing shechita for the purposes of, or on the condition of, doing the zrikat adam for that particular individual. Not that it should be for kapara for someone else. So the necessity to have in mind the balim is all associated with the zrikat adam. That means that even in the other avodot, doesn't mean that you're doing shechita l'shem balim. You're doing the kabbalat adam l'shem balim. No, you're doing a shechita that will then facilitate your ability to do zrikat adam for that particular individual. You're doing the kabbalat adam that will then be towards the zrikat adam of that particular individual. So this we'll get to again in the Masechta, that you can have what's called machshava mi'avodah li'avodah. That you can have machshava in one avodah and an impact on a different avodah. And that's really what we're speaking about here is, during shechita, you're having in mind that the zrikah will be done for this particular individual. When you do the kabbalat adam, you're also doing it for that particular individual in mind. But not in that avodah itself, but in the avodah of kapara, which is zrikat adam. And that is because that's the only time or place that it's really relevant who is the owner of the korban, because that's where the kapara is exercised, and that's the purpose of the korban for the particular individual who's bringing it, is that he gets credit, or that he gets the forgiveness that is accomplished through the Zrikat Adam. Now, how do we know that there is a concept of Shinui Balim? This goes back to the beginning of the Masechta, where the Balei HaTosafot discussed this. Rashi over here says, it's from the Mishnah that's coming up on Mem Vav Amud Bet, where the Mishnah there says, L'shem Shishat Varim HaZevach Nizbach, that the Zevach is put on the Mizbeach for these six things, which is you have to have in mind these six things. One of them, as we mentioned already, on the first step is l'shem zoveach, or the intent of the particular individual who's bringing the korban. And so now Rashi says the source for shinui balim is in that Mishnah on daf mem vav amud bet. Our Mishnah here at the beginning of the Masechta was talking about shinui kodesh, and the Gemara's question is, all right, explain to me about shinui kodesh, about our Mishnah, Then you have the Mishnah later on Mem Vav Amud Bet, that speaks about Baalim. How do you know that there's a requirement of Shinui Baalim? You remember the Baalei HaTosafot on Vet Amud Aleph discussed the possibility that our Mishnah was not only speaking about Shinui Kodesh, but was also speaking about Shinui Baalim as well. So in one answer, Tosafot said, Ein Okanami, like Rashi, that the question of the Gemara here is not on our Mishnah, but a generic question referencing to the Mishnah later on in Mem Vav Amud Bet. It's asking about Shinui Kodesh from our Mishnah and Shinui Baalim from the Mishnah further on. But in a second answer, he said, Oh, Yesh Lamar, the Shalom Bishron, the Matnitan Mashma ben Shinui Kodesh, ben Shinui Baalim. That our Mishnah actually incorporates both Shinui Baalim and Shinui Kodesh. And the Gemara's question over here of Shinui Baalim in Elon is not referencing the Mishnah on Mem Vav Amud Bet, but rather to our Mishnah over here. And so then what's the difference between our Mishnah and the Mishnah later on? Our Mishnah is speaking about the Matnot Dam and the Makshavot during the Matnot Dam. Whereas the Mishnah over there is speaking about the Hektar Kalavim. It's putting the items and the fats on the Mizbeah. And Tosafot points out that there might be this distinction because the Gemara here says that the source for Shinui Kodesh by our Mishnah is Vim Zevach Shlamim Korbano, whereas the source where the Gemara brings for the Mishnah, Mem Vav Amud Bet, is Ola Ishe Reach Nechoch Lashem, Ola, l'shem Ola. So why does it bring a different reason over there? Hell, it must be that our Mishnah and that Mishnah are speaking about two different things. Even though that's a nice distinction, it doesn't work as perfectly as the Baalei Tosafot themselves point out, because, first of all, the language used over there is, l'shem shishat varim azerach nizbach. Sounds like it's talking about shechita there, and not haktarat emurim. Nevertheless, he says, hu adin azerach niktar. Doesn't mean just being shechted, it also means that the chalavim are put on the mizbeach. Because the fact that one of the six items in that Mishnah, Mem Vav Amud Bet, is the Shem Zobeach. And that means for the Shinui Baalim. And we know that Shinui Baalim only has application by Zrikat Adam, does not have application by Hekter Chalavim. And by the time you get to Hekter Chalavim, the Zrikat Adam has already been done. And therefore the Shem Zobeach should not be relevant over there. But he says that he thinks the Gemara is aware of that, and that's why the Gemara later on only brings a source for how do you know that Shinui Kodesh has application. It never brings a source for Shem Zoveach of Shinui Baalim. It only mentions Shinui Baalim in our Perek, and not Shinui Baalim later on. And that's because Shinui Baalim is not relevant by the Hekter Emurim. But in that way, the Baalei Tosafot would say the question here of Shinui Baalim Minolon is not just a question on the Mishnah further on, but also a question on our Mishnah that includes both Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Baalim. Whereas the Mishnah later on, which is focused really on Shinui Kodesh, because even though it mentions there in particular the Shem Zoveach, in the context of Emurim, that's not so relevant. All the other Makshavot that are mentioned there are applicable, with the exception of the Shem Zoveach by the case of Hekter Emurim. So now, Amar Rav Pinchas Breder of Ami, Amar Ka, the pasuk says in Vayikra Zayin, to basar zevach todat shlamav, biyom korbano yerachel, lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. It says about that todah, basar zevach todat shlamav, shidei zvicha, l'shem todah. You have to do the zvicha, you have to do the shchita, l'shem todah. Same way that we said before, zevach shlamim means shchita l'shem shlamim. Now we're saying that zevach todat shlamav also means that it has to be done a zvicha shchita l'shem todah. That's a nice drasha, but that's speaking about the type of korban, not about the owner of the korban. You asked me about Shinui Baalim, you didn't ask me about Shinui Kodesh. So the answer to that is, on the Shinui Kodesh, since we don't need it for Shinui Kodesh, Tanafkalan Mehatam, we already learned that out from Shlamim. So now that we learned that out from Shlamim, why do you need that statement? Basar Tazevach Todat Shlamav, Shinui Baalim. It comes to teach you that Shinui Baalim is also a requirement. So Ein Hachanami, the Pasuk of Basar Zevach Todat Shlamav tells you you have to shecht at L'shem Todah, which is Shinui Kodesh. But it's unnecessary, because you already know that from the Shlamim. So why do you have it repeated again? To teach you, not only is there a din of Shinui Kodesh, there's also a din of Shinui Baalim, and that is Inu Inyan Lakan, Zeyu the Inyan Acher. It's not relevant to the topic about which it is speaking. Then we move it over to an alternative topic, which obviously would be relevant, not exactly the same, but connected. And that's what the Gemara is saying is happening with this Basar Zevach Todat Shlamav. V'hai l'hachi hu da'ato, Is that the reason you need it here? If to teach you about Shinui Balim or Shinui Kodesh, which gets turned into Shinui Balim, we need it for the Braita, which is Uvasar Zevach Todat Shlamav. Avachanin Omer Mishum Abelazar Bala Lamed Todah Shishachta L'Shem Shlamim K'sheira. That comes to teach you that if you bring a Korban Todah L'Shem Shlamim, instead of doing it L'Shem Todah, you do it L'Shem Shlamim, that is K'sheira. That is totally fine. Shlamim Shishachta L'Shem Todah Psula. On the other hand, if you bring a Shlamim and have in mind that it is a Todah instead of a Shlamim, then it is Psula. It fails. So that one of them is considered to be Lishma, meaning that if you do a Todah, L'Shem Shlamim, that's still considered to be Lishma. That's still considered to be as if you brought the Todah that was incumbent upon you. On the other hand, if you take a Shlamim and you bring it as a Todah, it will fail. That is called Lo Lishma. Mahefresh ben zeh lezeh. Why is it different? If a Todah is a Shlamim, why isn't a Shlamim a Todah? Because Todah kruya Shlamim, ben Shlamim kruya Todah. That is because a Todah is a subset of the greater category of Shlamim. The general category is Shlamim. A Todah is a particular type of Shlamim. It is a subset that has special characteristics to it, which are the fact that it is brought with lechem, that you bring the breads along with it, as well as the fact that it's only eaten for one day and one night. But it's subsumed under the category of a general Shlamim. So therefore, if you say that it is the same Shlamim when it's a Todah, you have said the right korban. It is a shlamim. It happens to be a particular type of shlamim, but it is a shlamim. But vice versa, it doesn't work. A shlamim is not a todah. Shlamim is the general category. And if you say it isn't a todah, then you're failing because you wanted to bring a shlamim. And a todah might be a subset of shlamim, but it is certainly not a shlamim, and that's why it fails. And you can see here, Rashi defines ksheira as being balu l'shem chuba. Ksheira means not just bidiavad, it means l'chatchila. You were chayav a korban todah. Then when you do it, l'shem shlamim, that makes it that not only is it good as a korban to place on the mizbeach, it's also a good enough korban to discharge your obligation vis-a-vis the obligation of a todah. And vice versa, psula means lo alu l'shem chova. It is still a good korban. It just does not discharge your obligation vis-a-vis the todah. It becomes a korban shelo lishma in that sense. Gemara says, that's not a problem. Anan mizevach kamrinan. We're not learning it out of from the phrase of basar zevach todat shlamav. That's really shlamav is where they're learning it from. We're learning it out of the word zevach. You could have said the same pasuk, which is basar todat shlamav, and it would have the same meaning. What's zevach todat shlamav? Zevach means the shchita must be the shame todah. And if it is the shame todah, and we already know that from the shlamim, then we say, menu inyan, shinui kodesh, tenayu l'shinu baylim. Fakatami baylay, we still need that pasuk. To teach us a chatat v'asham minayin. Here the Gemara is clipping out of the middle of a braita from Torat Kohanim and expects you to know what the context is, which is the requirement that korbanot be eaten in one day and one night. Kodesh kodeshim in general are consumed in the day that the korban is brought and then the night afterwards. Shlamim or kodesh kalim are usually different in that they are eaten for 2 days and one night. That means the day that the korban is brought, the night afterwards, and then in the subsequent day. One of the exceptions to that rule is a todah. Even though a todah is a subset of a shlamim and is kodshei kalim, you would have expected to be eaten for 2 days and one night, yet, to basar zevach todat shlamav, biyom korbano yerachel, lo yaniach mimenu ad boker. The requirement by a todah is only to be eaten on that day, and the subsequent night, which is like kodshei kodoshim. So there it's explicit by the korban todah that you only bring it for one day and one night. And now this braita from Torat Kohanim says, chatat v'asham minayin. How do you know that a chatat and a sham also have that requirement of only be eaten for the day on which they are brought, and then the subsequent night? Tamalomar zevach. They use the word zevach by ubazar zevach todat shlamav to teach you that any zvicha, any shchita requires one day and one night, unless it's stated otherwise. Imkei nichtov rachmana, ubasar todat shlamav, zevach. You could have moved the word zevach to the end of the phrase, and as Rashi notes over here, it would have been better to say, ubasar todat shlamav, zevach, v'yom korbano yeachel. Because then the issue of achila, which is v'yom korbano yeachel, only on that day you may eat it, lo yachniach menu ad boker, you can't leave it until the next day. Zevach, which is the limo that teaches us by Chatat Vasham, that it has the same din, that should have been juxtaposed to the timing of the eating. The fact that zevach was pulled back in the pasuk to be associated with the zevach todat shlamav, my zevach. So then why did it move the word zevach from where it could have been placed at the end of the pasuk to be upazar zevach todat shlamav? Shmaminatarte. From that, you can learn two things. One is the fact that from zevach, you can learn now to other korbanot, which is the chatat and hasham, that they can be eaten for one day and one night. Placement of zevach within the pasuk also teaches you the additional din that shchita of the todah must be done lishma, despite the fact that it's speaking about shinoi kodesh. We nevertheless say that it is about shinoi balim because we already have that from shlamim. It's unnecessary. Menu l'inyan shinoi kodesh, neu l'inyan shinoi balim. So ashka and zvicha. So now you've got shchita has to be done l'shem balim. Shar avodot minolon. How do we know the remainder of the avodot also have to be done l'shem balim? And once again, I'll reiterate, with regards to Shinoi Balim, it's not about that Avodah has to be done l'shem the Balim. It is that Avodah has to be done l'shem the fact that you're going to do Zrikat Adam for the Baalim. Because that's, again, the only place where Baalim are relevant is at the moment of Kapara. So once again, the Gemara says, why don't we say, well, extrapolate from Shchita to the other Avodot. Just like Shchita is an Avodah, and it requires Lishma, maybe all the Avodot are that way. Again, here, the shchita has a chumrah associated with it, which is that sometimes shchita has to be done l'shem ochlim, and that means that there's a unique aspect of shchita that's not applicable to the other avodot, and maybe that unique aspect also makes it, has the requirement of lishma. And once again here, it does but notes that there is a distinction here between shelo l'shem ba'alim, which is shinoi ba'alim and shinoi kodesh over here, which are classified as a psul begufo, and that is because as Tosfot says, the shinoi balim is relevant to the zrika tadam, which is the core, the essence of the korban. On the other hand, later on the mesechta, it's going to say that shalola ochlav, or shalola minuav, that if you bring the korban of Pesach for people who are not designated to be on it, or for people who can't eat the korban of Pesach, that's considered to be psulo bekodesh, and not psul begufo. And Tosfot says that is because shlolo chlim, shlolo minuim is an issue by shchita, not an issue by zrika. Therefore, it's considered to be psulo bekodesh, not psul begufo. Or inami shlolo chlim shlamim yachol lekayim machshavato beheter botan shi minuim alav. And so you can have a machshava shlolo chlim shlolo minuim that does not render the korban pasul, and that's why it's called psulo bekodesh. But shlolo shma by definition is going to be posel the korban. Because even if it's lishma and shalol lishma, it still is shalol lishma. And for that reason, it's considered to be a psul begufo by shinui balim and shinui kodesh, as opposed to the cases of shalol minuin, shalol ochlin. So nemra zvicha b'shinui kodesh, but nemra zvicha b'shinui balim. Let us say that zvicha appears by shinui kodesh, which we established above. Nemra zvicha b'shinui balim, which is what we just established. Ma zvicha mura b'shinui kodesh. Lo chilakta ben zvicha l'shar avodot. As zvicha amura b'shinoi balim, lo techalak ben zvicha l'shar avodot. Just like by shinoi kodesh, you figured out that it's not only true about shchita, it's true about the other three avodot as well. You have to do them the shame, the korban. And over here, you've already established the pattern again by saying that shchita requires the shame balim. So just say, just like over there, what was true of shchita was true of the other three avodot, and we have a source for each one of them. Then over here, once the Torah tells you by Shechita you need the Shem Balim, then it should be equally applicable to all other Avodot, just like the Shem, the Korban itself, was applicable to all other Avodot. It says, Ikal Mifrach, that can be undermined, because there are four differences between Shinoi Kodesh and Shinoi Balim, which is Mala Shinoi Kodesh. Shinoi Kodesh has these four Chumrot. Number one is, Shekein Psula Bigufa. It is an inherent Psul in the Korban, not seemingly an external psul to a korban. A korban can be psul because of something that is inherently wrong with the korban, versus what's called psulo bakodesh, which is a problem in the technicalities or in the processing of the korban. And right now the Gemara is assuming that the psul of shinui kodesh is a problem in the gufa korban, as opposed to the problem of shinui balim, which is only a problem of psulo bakodesh, it's a problem in the processing of the korban. The Gemara will come back and try to understand why there is such a difference, or why would you make such a distinction. V'yeshno ba'arba avodot, and it has application to all four avodot, which is not true by Shinui Balim. As we've noted already, when it comes to Shinui Kodesh, each avodah has to be done the shame the korban. That avodah itself has to be done the shame the korban. On the other hand, when it came to the shame Balim, we already said Balim are only relevant by Zrikat Adam. And that means that even if you're thinking about the shame Balim and the other avodot, that's in relationship to the Zrikat Adam, not inherently in that avodah, but rather that avodah having a makshava about the Zrikat Adam will be done the shame the Balim. V'yeshno la'achar mita, it has application even after the death of the owner. Obviously, Shinui Balim is not relevant after the death of the owner because the owner is no longer alive. So then, how can you have a Shinui Balim? The Balim don't exist. But when it comes to Shinui Kodesh, even though the owner has passed away, the Korban, in some instances, will be brought by the Yorshim, by the inheritors of that individual. They'll be required to bring that Korban to the Mikdash and have it processed in the Mikdash. So Shinui Kodesh has application even after the Mitah or the death of the owner, whereas Shinui Balim is not relevant after the death of the owner. Tosafot does point out that this Yeshno Lachar Mitah is only true according to the one who says Shibuda Deoraita, that a lien or an obligation has a Torah effect on the possessions of an individual. And this individual who had committed to bring a Korban or had made a neder to bring such a Korban, then if Shibuda Deoraita, then there's an obligation on the Yorshim to bring the Korban on behalf of that individual and discharge the obligation. On the other hand, if there's no Shibuda Deoraita, there is no such obligation. And therefore, according to the one who says Shibuda Lav Deoraita, this distinction does not exist between Shinui Balim and Shinui Kodesh, because even Shinui Kodesh is not an issue. So the Balei Tosafot give two answers. The second answer, which is a little simpler, is the fact that still the Chatchila, if the Yoresh is bringing the Korban on behalf of the individual, they should bring it for the Korban designated by that individual. If they happen to change it, there's no problem in terms of Shinui Kodesh to discharge the obligation of the individual, but nevertheless, there's still a Chatchila and Isur to make such a change. The other way that the Baal Tosafot will deal with it is if the person separated out two animals, what's called the Achrayut. He says, I'm going to bring the Korban from this animal. If this animal gets lost or somehow does not end up on the Mizbeach, this will be the backup and the replacement animal. So then, if the Yoresh then takes the first animal and brings it, Shalom, the Shame, the Korban that it was intended, that's the equivalent of it getting lost, and then that would obligate him to bring the second Korban. So there, Shinui Kodesh has impact even after the death of the individual, despite the fact that Shibuda Lav Deoraita. And so that's how Tosafot creates scenarios in which Shinui Kodesh has application even after the death of the individual, even according to the one who says Shibuda Lav Deoraita. And so that is a distinction from Shinui Balim, which has no relevance after the death of the individual because they already have passed away. V'yeshno b'tzibur k'biyachid. Shinui Kodesh is relevant to the tzibur because the tzibur has to bring a particular korban. You change the type of korban, then you have a problem. On the other hand, Shinui Balim can't really apply to a korban at tzibur because everyone are the balim of the korban. Every individual within the tzibur is a baal of the korban. So no matter who you have in mind, that is the baal of the korban. And so therefore you can't have a Shinui Balim. What happens if you have a makshava l'shem nochri? You have in mind to bring it for a goy instead of Israel. That goes back to what we discussed yesterday. That's a makshava that has no relevance. Since the nochri is not relevant to this korban, that's not called the Shinui Balim. Shinui Balim is when you change it to someone who could otherwise have been chayav in the korban or could have brought this korban. As Tosva knows over here, v'afil l'shem obi kochavim lo misal d'binin chaviro d'umididei mekuyav kaparakamoto. That it has to be something where you're relevant to that korban, or where your obligation is similar to the real Baalim in order for it to be a problem. But when you're putting in an irrelevant character, an irrelevant Baal, that's not going to have any impact on the korban. In those four, the Gemara says, v'afagav d'tarte lav davka, even though two out of those four are not really differences, Tarte mi'u davka. Two of them are real differences between them. So we stated there are four differences between Shinui Kodesh and Shinui Balim, which make you believe that what's true of Shinui Kodesh doesn't necessarily have to be true of Shinui Balim. It has four chumrot Shinui Kodesh, and those chumrot may make it that it's unique and has other requirements that Shinui Balim doesn't have. Gemara says out of those four, two of them are kind of not really differences, the other two are differences. Here the Gemara explains that Maishna Shnui Balim Da Oav Ibsulo Bigufo. You just told us before that the Shinui Balim is not considered to be a psul beguf, where Shinui Kodesh is considered to be a Shinui beguf. So why do you classify Shinui Balim as not being a psul beguf? Makshava ba'alma, because it's just a thought. You're not doing any action associated with this thought. You're just thinking about the korban. Thought is not a psul begufa korban. So now, understanding now what it means, gufa korban means literally on the physical korban, there's something wrong with it. There's a psul in the guf. Over here, the problem is not the korban itself. It's what you're thinking about the korban. Where it says, Shinei Kodesh, nami makshava ba'almohu. Shinei Kodesh is also only done through thought. And therefore, you can't say that's a distinction between them, because neither of them are psul begufo, because they both deal with makshava. Elokeimen da achshava paslo, but since you thought about it, or you did something that was improper in the thought, you were posel it. Hachanami came da achshava paslo. So too over here, since you had a thought about it, you were posel it. So just like by Shinui Kodesh, the makshava creates the psul in the korban, so too by Shinui Balim, the makshava creates the psul in the korban. So whatever you want to call it by Shinui Kodesh, that's the same thing it is by Shinui Balim. Whether you want to call it Psul Begufo, or don't want to call it Psul Begufo, it doesn't really matter. They both function in the same way, and that is not a distinction between them. Over here, the Baal Yekos Vot raised a significant issue which will recur throughout this Masechta, and it's an important issue that the Baal Yekos Vot we mentioned already on Pei Amud Aleph mentions. Go look in Perek HaMafkin in Bava Metzia, where I discuss this issue, and that is when the Gemara requires you to have a certain thing in mind, or have a certain condition as part and parcel of what you're doing, are those things required to be articulated? Does that simply mean thought? Can you think these items and that's it? Or do you have to actually articulate these items? So in order for Shinui Kodesh to be a problem, is it enough that you just think the improper thought? Or do you have to actually articulate? When the Gemara here says you have the wrong makshava, does that mean literally you thought the wrong thing? Or does that mean that you articulated what that which you were thinking? Again, we're going to see this throughout the Masechta. See here, Rabbi Kiv Eger points you back to that Tosfot and Bet Amud Aleph, and then that Rabbi Kiv Eger on that Tosfot and Bet Amud Aleph points out numerous Balei Tosfot and Rashi throughout the Masechta that deal with this. Tosfot here says, "Vafilei tzarich tibur," because Tosfot in many places of the belief that makshava is not enough; you need articulation. So over here, if you need articulation, why is the Gemara saying it's just a makshava? What do you mean it's just a makshava? You have to articulate it. You're doing a maaseh here. So a maaseh should be a psul in the guf of the korban. Says, kaven deleka maaseh habik makshava ba'alma. He said, plays on the term and says, you know why it's called a makshava? It's because there's no physical action associated with that which you are doing. So even though you are speaking, and speaking sometimes can be classified as a maaseh, but over here, where speaking is termed as a makshava, it's an articulation of a thought, if there's no action taken with that or associated with that, the Gemara will call it makshava, even though it's the maase of dibur. And in that way, the Baalei Tosafot get out of the problem, saying that there is some sort of conflation of the terms of makshava and dibur, but it depends on how it's being expressed. So maybe there is a requirement of dibur over here in order to be posel the korban. Despite the fact that you're actually speaking, it's still called a makshava. The reason being is because that's all you're doing is speaking. You're taking no action that's associated with that speaking. And that's why the Gemara terms it makshava, even though it's dibur, which makes you feel that the Baalei Tosafot believe that when the Gemara here in Kodoshim is saying that you have the improper thought, you have this thought, it really means articulation. It doesn't mean simply that you are thinking in those manners. Ula Rav Pinchas, Brei de Rav Mori, Damar Yesh Shinui Balim Lachar Mita. Rav Pinchas, Brei de Rav Mori, who thinks that Shinui Balim is applicable even after the death of the Balim, then again, they're equated now. Because Shinui Kodesh applies after the death of the Balim. So now, according to Rav Pinchas, does Shinui Balim apply after Lachar Mita? That difference now falls away. Tarte Miha Ika Lemifrach. The remaining two items are unique to Shinui Kodesh and don't have application by Shinui Balim. And that is Tzibur and Yachid, which is one of them. Shinui Kodesh is applicable by the Tzibur. Shinui Balim is not. And Arba Avodot. That Shinui Kodesh is applicable inherently in each one of the Avodot. Shinui Balim is only applicable to Zrikat Adam. And even if it's in the other Avodot, it's about thinking about Zrikat Adam in the other Avodot. So there they have two differences. That makes Shinui Kodesh a Chumrah. But as a Chumrah, you can't extrapolate from it to Shinui Balim. Now we're back to square one, which is, where do we get the other avodot that they have a requirement in Shem Baalim? So Amar Rav Ashi, or the other gear says, Amar Rav Ami, Amar Kro, the Pasuk says, V'samach yado rosh ha'ula, v'nirtzalo lechaper alav. Be accepted before Hashem in order to be a kapara for him. But it says, lechaper alav, v'lo al kapero. It will be a for a kapara for him, and not for his fellow Jew. That would seem to be that the kapara, which is the zrikat adam, must be done for this particular individual, and not for anyone else. It says, v'hai lahachi udato. That's what you use that pasuk for. Hai mi violate. We already need this pasuk for a different limud. Dediktanya, v'nirtzalo lechaper alav, Rabbi Shimon Omer, et shalav chayav b'achriyoto. Et she'enu alav, enu chayav b'achriyoto. So this comes to a core difference that we've noted many times between a neder and a nidava. And Rabbi Shimon says, et she'alav, that which is on him, that which is an obligation that sits upon him, he is responsible to ensure that it is discharged. On the other hand, something that does not sit on him, then it is not his obligation to ensure that it gets discharged. My time, huh? What is the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position? When you say it's upon me, it's literally as if it's on your shoulders. It is a burden that you are carrying and will not be discharged until you've fulfilled your words. And this is the key difference between a nedava and a neder and a nedava, which is a neder is hare alai. I obligate myself to do whatever it is. If you say it's hare alai ola, means that you've then obligated yourself to bring an ola. But that obligation is sitting alai on your shoulders. Means that the obligation is not discharged until an ola ends up in the mizbeach, and you're not freed of that obligation. Then if you say hare zo ola, you say about this animal, this will be an ola, there you're not taking alai. You're not putting it on your shoulders. You're not carrying the burden. You're simply dedicating that particular animal to be an ola. If the animal gets on the mizbeach, great. If it doesn't get on the mizbeach, you're not responsible to replace it because you only dedicated that animal. You didn't take personal responsibility. But he learned that out from the pasuk of Nitzalo, the chaper alav. Again, the play is on alav, alai. Meaning that when you make it a personal obligation, then it's not discharged until that kapara is brought for you. So Rav Ashi, menirtzalo, the chaper kamar. Wait a minute. He's learning out of the word alav. Rav Ashi, on the other hand, is saying menirtzalo. Lo velo lecha veiro. So that's for him and not someone else. And from there we now have zrikat adam in the shein balim. So where it says, ashkan zvicha v'zrika. Now we have shchita from todah. Now we have zrikat adam from nitzar lo lecha perlev by the olah. Kabbalah minelen. Where do you know that Kabbalah also requires it be done the shein balim? V'chite malelef mizvicha v'zrika. So you'll say, you have shchita zvicha. Take those two and say, they are avudot, they require the Shem Balim, so does Kabbalah. Malas v'chab zvikash kin avudash chayvin alei abachutz. They have a chumrah associated with them, which is, they are both avudot, that if you do them outside the mikdash, you're going to be chayav mita. In Parsha at Achrimot, this week's Parsha, there is a restriction against shchutei chutz and zrikat chutz. If you shecht an animal outside the mikdash, that should have been brought inside of the mikdash. Or you do zrikat adam on an animal that should have been brought in the mikdash and you do it outside. That's called shchitat chutz, zrikat chutz, and you're chayav mita for doing such. That's not true of the avodah of Kabbalah. So that means here's a chumrah or a common denominator between them. That chumrah might explain why you need the shein balim over here. And then you can't necessarily extrapolate that to Kabbalat adam. El amar Rav Ashi, atya me'el nazir. It comes from the ayol that is brought by the nazir. Dichtiv, v'ikriv ha-kohen lifnei Hashem, v'asad chatato v'et olato, v'et ha-ayol yaseh zevach shlamim l'Hashem al sal ha-matzot, v'asad ha-kohen et minchato v'et nisko. So by the el nazir, which is a shlamim, it says over there that the el yaseh l'zevach shlamim, sh'tehei atziyato l'shem shlamim, that it must be processed or done l'shem shlamim. Im einu l'inyan shinui kodesh. So again, here, we're speaking about Shinei Kodesh, and then it has to be done the Shem Shlamim. The Napkalei Mi Hatam, we already established in the previous Amud, Kabbalat Adam, requires the Shem Shlamim. Neyu L'inyan Shinui Balim. So then, use it for Shinui Balim. And the idea being that the Asiyoto, the specific Avodot that are associated with the Korban, the four Avodot, which are Shchita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika, they'll all be included. So Amalei Ravacha, Barav L'Rova, Ema, wait a minute. Why does that have to be the case by this pasuk? You can say Yaseh, which is et ayol Yaseh Zevach Shlamim. So Yaseh is a klal, a general principle that includes all of Udot. Zevach, we already established the word Zevach or Zvicha means Shchita. That's a particular Avodah. Prat, that is a Prat. That means you have a klal uprat. And as you know from Rabbi Yishmael, klal uprat, ein bachlal ha-mashiv paprat. If you have a generic statement and then a particular statement, what it's telling you is the definition of the generic statement or general statement is that particular item. Zvicha in midach v'inalo. And all you can learn out of that, asiyato, is it's speaking about Shchita and not speaking about anything else. It says, Iktiv yaseh shlamim zevach kidamart. If the pasuk was written that you will make the shlamim a zevach, then you are right. Because then the klal would be altogether, and the prat would follow it, which is, yaseh shlamim is the klal, and then zevach is the particular item. In that instance, the prat will be an explanation or a perush on the klal. Hashad ikhtiv yaseh zevach shlamim, you actually have the prat interrupting the klal, which is, havalei klal she'enu malei. It is a klal that is not finished before the prat gets inserted. That is, the klal is yaseh shlamim, the zevach, the shchita, is the prat, but it sits right in between the middle of the klal. And v'chol klal she'enu malei, ein danin oto b'klal uprat. Any klal that gets divided by a prat does not have the normal rulings, normal trappings of a klal uprat. It can no longer be the peirush of the klal, because the klal itself wasn't fully defined before already the prat was entered into the situation. Therefore, you would not be limited in this case. Rabino Amar, lolam danim v'lashem. Pasuk continues, v'etayo yaseh zevach shlamim lahashem, asala matzot, v'asa kohenim in kodo v'nisko. So lahashem, chazar v'kalal, is a ribui, or a klal, and therefore you have here now, yaseh being a klal, zevach shlamim being a prat, and lahashem being a klal, klal upratu klal, and yadadan elokein a prat. So Amalei Ravacha Midifti, the Rabina, Va'alo Dami Klala Kama L'Klala Bratra. You're creating a Klal Upratu Klal, where the first Klal and the last Klal are not the same type of generic or general principle. Klala Kama, the first Klal, which is Mirabe Asiyot, it says Yaseh, things that are considered to be actions by a Korban, which are the four Avudot, Shchita, Kabbalah, Holaka, and Zrika, Betulo, and nothing more than that. Klala Batra is Kol Hashem. Says anything that is done for dedication to Hashem is classified as being included in that klal. Vafilu shvichat shirayim, vaktarat emurim. That would include other parts of the process of the korban, which are not me'akev the korban, but nevertheless are part of the processing of the korban, including putting the emurim on the mizbeach, including the excess dam that you don't need for the matnot dam, that you pour that down the yisoda mizbeach. These are items which are shiarei mitzvah, but they are Lashem. If that's the case, the Klal Avatra would have included them. Or says, Hanatana debate Rabbi Shmuel, Bichlal Eprate Darish Ki Agavna. We find precedents from Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbi Shmuel that you know that you say in the morning, where he darishins Klal Upratu Klal, even when the first Klal and the last Klal are not of equal nature. Klal Upratu Klal. So now that you have a Klal Upratu Klal, and following the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, that is Ke'ena Prat, now you have to establish, what is Ke'ena Prat over here? Prat. What's the prat there? Zevach or shchita. So what's unique about shchita? Mifurash avudah ubina nishman. It is one of the four avudot, and it requires the shame balim. Afkol avudah ubina nishman. So to any one of the other three avudot will also require the shame balim. Ima prat mifurash avudah v'chayven aleh b'chutz. Wait a minute, shchita has a chumrah associated with it, which is your chayv mitah, if it's done outside of the confines of the Migdash. If that's the case, then you would only include Shchita Vizrika in Kabbalah V'Alachalo. Then the only thing you could include in the Ke'ena Prat there would be Zrika, which is Domeh Le Shchita. Or Inami. You could read it this way. Ma Prat Mifurash Davar Ataun Safon V'Yeshna B'Chatot Apnimiyot. Just like Shchita is required to be done in the northern side, and also is relevant by chatot ha-pnimiyot, av kol ha-taun safon. So too any other vodah that has that same requirement of being done in the north, as well as v'yeshno b'chatot ha-pnimiyot. It's relevant by chatot ha-pnimiyot. Shchita v'kabbalah. Those are only relevant by shchita and kabbalat adam. So they would be in Bezrika alone. And then Zrika would be out. And that would not be included. So now, Ika the Meimer Hochi, Bika the Meimer Hochi. It's not clear which way you would go with the Prat. Many times when you have a Klau Pratu Klau, you have more than one Prat there. When you have more than one Prat, it's easier because then you try to find the common denominator between the Pratim, and that becomes Keina Prat. But if you only have one Prat there, it's hard to know what the Keina Prat is because any one of the features could be important. And then how do you establish Keina Prat? That's what the Gemara is having difficulty with here now, which is Shechita is the only mentioned Prat over here. What aspects of Shechita do we want to emulate in other places? Is it the aspect of Shechita that it's Chayav Mita Bachutz? Or is it the aspect of Shechita that it can only be done in the Tzafon and it's relevant to Chatot Pnimiyot? Depending on which one of those aspects you emphasize, you'll get a different answer as to what's included here. If you emphasize Shechita Chutz, then you only can bring in Zigirika. If you emphasize Safon and Chatot Pnimiyot, then you can only bring in Kabbalat Adam. Mar says, Ika the Meimer Hochi, Ika the Meimer Hochi. Either one of those Limudim is a valid way to learn the Keina Prat. Therefore, Shkuli Meim, they are equal, Ve'avo Shnehem. And therefore, you can learn both of them through the Keina Prat, both the Zrika and the Kabbalah can be included through the Limud. Now, the truth is, we already have Zrika from a different Pasuk. So the only one that will be relevant to us now is Kabbalah, even though you could have learned both Zrika and Kabbalah through this Keina Prat. The Bar Tosafot over here say, many times in Shas, we find if you have two equal options to learn from something, then you don't learn either of them. Since it's not clear, it's not defined what you're learning, then you can't say it's Mukhrok, that that's what the Pasuk means, or that's the definition over here. So how come over here all of a sudden we say, ah, we can learn both, because since neither one of them is Mukhrok, you can learn both of them. Should be, neither one of them is mukrak, you can't learn either of them. So the Bayit goes well to say it's a difference between where the context of the Pasuk. Over here it's clear the context of the Pasuk means the Klal Prat Klal is trying to include things. So if you say we learn nothing, then the Pasuk has done absolutely nothing, and you haven't accomplished what the intent of the Pasuk is. But in a case where you have a Pasuk, where you have other Limudim, or the Limud is not mukrak, that it's inclusive, then you could say if I can't focus or pinpoint what the Limud is, then neither of them would be true. But over here, when it's clear the Pasuk's trying to include something, you have to include something. Once you have to include something, then if you have two equal options, both of them will be included. And even though in one case we had two common denominators, Safon and Chatot Pnimiyot, as opposed to the other case where we had only one common denominator, that they are Chayav Mita B'chutz, nevertheless, that's still considered to be Shkulim, or on equal footing. As Rashi notes over here, from that you will have the Avodah of Shechita. And then because you have the equal possibility of learning out Zrika and Kabbalah through this Limud, those will also be included over here. And as we mentioned on the Amud Aleph, the Holacha, which is a subset or subsumed under Kabbalah, will be learned through Kabbalah. And that way you include the four Avodot. Lishna Achrina. Another way to express this is to say, you can hear in the Shikadu Mekubetz that he adds in the word Shakulhu. Shakulhu. Chada chada teku b'milta. Each one of them will be placed in its relevant point, and each one of the avodot will be learned through one of the limudim. I mean, it's the same way of saying, since they're both equal, we're going to learn both of them. Or in essence, it's saying the same thing as the conclusion before, which is that these limudim will come out of the klal prat uklal by El Nazir, which means then we can cover shechita, zrika, and kabbalah from there. And holacha, as Rashi notes of here, will be garnered through Kabbalah. If you read the Lishna Achrina without the shokolhu of the Shita Mukubetzet, then there's a possibility to read that as being a rejection of both possibilities. Meaning, since we can't say one over the other in terms of the arguments, we're going to reject both arguments. That might be another way to read this piece of the Gemara of the Lishna Achrina, rather than saying we're accepting both arguments, that we're actually rejecting both arguments. There is also some discussion as to how much Rav Ashi's limud over here rejects the limudim that we had before. The way we explained it in the Gemara is that he now creates a new source for all of these items with regards to Shinui Baalim, and we learn them all out, Bim Enu Inyan Shinui Kodesh, it'll be the Inyan Shinui Baalim. There are those like the Sfat Emet, who want to say that Rav Ashi is really only searching for the source per Kabbalat Adam and not searching in general. And then if you do say that, then you can also then create a difference between the first conclusion of the Gemara and then the Lishna Achrina, whereby the Lishna Achrina might actually be saying that we learn each one of the items from its particular place versus first Lashon that says that a new source for all of these items with regards to Shinui Baalim. Ibaidema, some others suggest, Zrika mit Ravashi. The Zrika we learned from Ravashi that we learned above when Ravashi said, Nirtzolo lechaper alav. That is either Ravashi or the Girsa we had was Rav Yami, possibly Nafka. And therefore, you only need to learn one thing from here, which is you only need to learn Kabbalah from here, and then we'll focus the Limur, the Kabbalah Tavallah, on the Kabbalah, and not on Kabbalah and Zrika. Now, that's Rashi's understanding of what the Gemara is saying here in the Ibaidema. Rashi reads simply that since we have a source for Zrika, then you can use the Klal Pratul Klal to teach you Kabbalah. But you could say is that what the Gemara is saying is since Ravashi demonstrated that Zrika is included already, then once you have the Klal Pratul Klal, you can't just include Kabbalah, you have to include Zrika as well, because we have the evidence of the fact that Zrika does require the Shema as well. All right, Ashkecha Ne'el Nazir, Shar Shlamim Minolan. Okay, you just established something with regards to an El Nazir. How do you know that has application by other Shlamim as well? If you want to say we're going to learn it out from the ayil that is brought as the Shlamim by the Nazir, Mala El Nazir, Shekin Yeshi Mehen Damim Acherim. El Nazir is a korban that is brought in the context of other korbanot. There's a chatat anolah and a shlamim that is brought together with it. You have other korbanot that are associated with it. Maybe that's what makes it unique by the Nazir. Imke nichtov shalme. Then it should have just written the word shalme. Girsa Mesorta Shas or the Shidim HaKubetzet is shlamav. My shlamim. What is shlamim in plural and form, which seems to be including shlamim, the generic term, instead of shalmav, rabot kol shlamim. So that comes to teach you the rabot kol shlamim. Now Gemara says, okay, Ashkan Shlamim, Shar Kodon Kodoshim Minolon. Now you've established these principles by Shlamim. How do you know that it has application by all other Kodoshim? V'chitayim Anelef Mishlamim. So why don't you say that Shlamim becomes the paradigm and we'll learn from Shlamim? Mal Shlamim Shkein Tunim Smicha Unisachim Utnufa Chazeh V'Shok. Because Shlamim have unique aspects to them. First of all, it requires Smicha on them. Not all Korbanot require Smicha. It requires Nisachim. Libations to be brought along with it, as well as a minchat, nisachin, that comes with it. Not all korbanot have that aspect to them. And no korban has tnufat chazev shok. Besides the shlamim, the wave offering of the chest and the right leg, which are the batnot kihuna that come off of this, that tnufa is only done by a shlamim, it's not applicable to any other korban. So these are unique to a shlamim, since they're unique aspects of a shlamim, maybe that's what causes the necessity for the Balim and the Kodesh to be Lishma. Alamakra, so here is the answer to your question. How can we be pulling things from here and there and then say, oh, it has application? That's because the Pasuk says, at the end of Parshat Tzav, when it comes to the Miluim, it says, Zota Torah, Laula, Lamincha, Vela Chatat, Vela Sham, Vela Miluim, Ulezeva Chashlamim, Ekishana Katuv, Lishlamim. This Pasuk will feature prominently in almost any limud we have throughout Kodoshim, which is that if it's applicable to one korban, we can then apply it to other korbanot through this hekesh, where the Torah brings all the korbanot in a single pasuk. Hekesh na katuv l'shlamim. There's a hekesh between all other korbanot to shlamim. Ma shlamim ben shinui kodesh, ben shinui balim, bin lishma. Whether it's shinui kodesh or shinui balim, there's a requirement of lishma. Af kol ben shinui kodesh, ben shinui balim, bin lishma. Therefore, by all korbanot, we have the same requirement that it be done the Shema. So that which we learn from Shlamim, maybe one pasuk from Olah, or the El Nazir, and now we have all these dinim that have application by Shlamim, you can extrapolate them to the other korbanot through this hekesh. Ema, heicha deshachet lo shelo lishma lipaslo. Wait a minute. Maybe if you shecht the shelo lishma, the korban should be pasul the gamrei. Because from what we've learned so far, it sounds like these psukim would tell you that you have to do the Shema, implied in that is if you don't do it, the Korban fails. Which Rashi explains the question of the Gemara as being, Sharei lo nasuke lo katan, since they were not done properly, bein zrika dam mater b'saram na'achila. Therefore, the zrika dam should not allow for the eating of the Korban afterwards. Although, in its more simple form, it seems to be that the psul here is an inherent psul in the Korban, and that the shinui kodesh is not simply then a technical problem that doesn't allow you to eat the basar of korban, but a fundamental flaw in the korban that would disqualify the korban completely. So Amar Kra, the pasuk that we brought again on the first daf, Mutzas Vatecha Dishmor Vasita, Kasher Nadarta L'Hashem Elokecha, Nidava Asher Dibarta B'Ficho. Hi Nidava, how come the pasuk continues Nidava? Nederhu. You're conflating terms of neder and nidava. How could you have an apostle that's speaking about fulfill your obligations, the neder that you took, and then it says, the nidava that you committed to Hashem. Ella, in kamash nadarta asita yehei neder. If you carry out in the processing of the animal like you were supposed to do, then it will remain a neder. I mean, you'll discharge the obligation that you had in committing to do this. Bimlav, if in some way you fail to do that, meaning you do it shalol lishma, yehei nedava. It'll become a gift. It'll be a kosher korban. It just will not discharge your obligation of the neder that you took. And I need both psukim. Vitzrich. Mutzas vatecha. Vitzrich zot haTorah. I also need the hekesh. Dika dachrana mutzas vatecha. Had the pasuk only said mutzas vatecha, lo yadab my kot of rachmana. We don't have any idea what who's speaking about. What do you have to fulfill that's a neder? And what if you don't fulfill becomes a nidava? We have no context or no explanation as to what it's speaking about. So that katav rachmanav and zot haTorah. That's what the hekesh comes to teach you, that this is the aspect of what we're speaking about, which are these four avodot, being done lishma by shinui kodesh and shinui balim. Viv katav rachmanav zot haTorah, had the Torah only written the hekesh and zot haTorah, havamina lipaslo. It wasn't just a problem with the korban, it would disqualify the korban. Because from what we look at, it sounds like you need to do this. You don't do this. It's a failed korban. To teach you that even if you fail to do this, it's a lachatchila. This is what you need to do lachatchila to have it be a neder and discharge your obligation. But b'diavad, if you don't do it, yes, you will not discharge your obligation, but it still will be a kosher korban. It'll turn into a nidava on the mizbeach. Although Tosafot does point out there is a difficulty with this havamina. Because we have a general principle by Kodeshim, which is Shana Alav HaKatuv LeAkev. That by Kodeshim, if there's a instruction or command mentioned once, then that means it's Lechatchila and not Bidiabad. That means if you don't do it, the Korban will still be Kasher. Shana Alav HaKatuv, if the command or the instruction is written twice, that means it's Me'akev and it'll even be Pasul Bidiabad. For here, how would you ever think that Shinui Kodesh should result in something that is posel the korban when the instruction is only mentioned once? The Tosafot suggests that we had before cases where there was shinui kodesh and it was mentioned multiple times, and we said immediately niyakan, immediately niyacher. And so you see, there are other psukim that would have doubled up the shinui kodesh and made it akev. And even though in the end we do use it for shinui balim, that's what's when we've already established that shinui kodesh is not a psul b'diabad, but only a psul lechatchila. And the Shita Mikubetzet in Oziud and the Bali Tosafot here in the Hagal bring an alternate view which says that it is misvara. The fact that it is a chisaron in the avodah would then be psul the korban completely and not simply be a problem lechatchila, but even a problem b'diabad. Along comes Mosatz Vatecha to teach you that's not the case, and that here, if it's shina lava katub, it would have been psul. But without that, it would not be pasul. Although, as Tosafot points out here, why is it so clear to the Gemara that Motzas Vatecha is actually speaking about the case of Shinui Kodesh? Maybe it's speaking about a case of Shinui Balim. And that would even make more sense, because we just said that Shinui Kodesh should be pasul even Bidiabad, had it not been for Motzas Vatecha. The other hand, Shinui Balim is something that we know is only pasul Lechatchila, where we don't have a duplication of it, and it's not pasul Bidiabad. Tosafot answers simply, it can't be that because it just does sound like it's speaking about a case of shinui balim. Motzas vatecha, and the wording of the pasuk sounds like it's speaking about the korban itself, not about the individual who is bringing the korban. So the two psukim, or the tension between the psukim, teach you, first of all, where this is applicable, and that's by lishma of shinui balim and shinui kodesh, but then you would have thought that that makes it pasul. Motzas Vatecha comes to teach you that it is only pasul lechatchila. I mean, you don't discharge your obligation of the nether, but it is still kasher bidi avad. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of Hey Amud Aleph.